Well, as Rose said, some of what Jesus says in this passage is difficult to hear. Do you think I've come to bring peace? No, I tell you, I have instead come to bring division. I wish Jesus hadn't said that. You know, maybe Jesus didn't say it. I mean, how do we know that this is actually what Jesus said? I mean, how do we know that Luke didn't just misquote Jesus? I mean, we know the Gospels weren't written down immediately. Yeah, I think Jesus was misquoted here. I don't think Jesus actually said this. Amen. Well, that was easy. Unfortunately, it's too easy to just dismiss or ignore passages like this that we'd rather not hear. The problem is, once you dismiss something like, "I've come to bring division," it's all the easier for someone next week to dismiss, "Take up your cross and follow me," or "Love your enemies." So, although we don't know for sure that Jesus said all those words in red in your Bible attributed to him, according to Luke, and I should point out, according to Matthew as well, Jesus said this. In Matthew's version, though, Jesus says, "I have not come to bring peace, but to bring a sword," which may be even more troubling. But I think we have to take this seriously. At least according to Luke, Jesus said this. So, why did Jesus say it, and what is Jesus trying to tell us? Let me start with just some context in Luke's gospel. This is a part of Luke's gospel after which Luke says Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem. That's in Luke 9, verse 51. Jesus turned his face toward Jerusalem, which means everything after that in Luke's gospel is done with Jesus focused on what he's going to do. He's focused on Jerusalem. He's focused on confronting the religious and political leaders. He's focused on doing things he knows are going to result in his arrest, in his crucifixion, and then in his resurrection. So everything after that point in Luke's gospel, Jesus is focused on why he has come and what he's going to do. So in the context of that, we have Jesus saying, I have a baptism I must go through. And how I wish it had already come. I'm distressed until it's completed. But do you think I've come to bring peace? No, I tell you, not peace, but division. Now the next question, and maybe the big question, is when Jesus says that about I have come to bring division, is that statement prescriptive or descriptive? To use some slightly technical language. Prescriptive would mean Jesus is saying, and it's where we get the word prescription, here's what I'm intending to happen. Here's what I want to happen. Is Jesus saying here, I came with the purpose of creating division? That would be prescriptive. Or is Jesus speaking descriptively? That is, here is what is going to happen, the result of what I am doing. So is Jesus saying this division is what I'm here to do? Or is he saying this division will be the result of what I'm about to do? Prescriptive or descriptive? Now, I would suggest Jesus is speaking descriptively. This division that is coming is not what Jesus intends or wants, but it's what's going to result from what Jesus is teaching and doing. Partly because what Jesus is coming to do requires his followers to make a choice. And choices always create division. So Jesus comes and basically says, you must choose. If you follow me, if that's the choice you make, that means you're choosing not to put other things as your top priority. Are you going to choose to give the highest authority to earthly rulers or to me? Are you going to give your primary allegiance to a country or a nation or an institution or a party or a person or to me? And that choice is going to create division, as choices always do. When's the last time you and your family tried to make a choice about where to eat dinner? Did it create any division? Choices create division because people make different choices. Not everyone in the world was going to choose or chooses to follow Jesus. And that means there's going to be division and tension between people. But even more than that choice, there's going to be division because Jesus comes to change us and change the world. It's what Jesus was always talking about. A new creation. You are a new creation. I come so you can be transformed, which means you must change. I come to change the world. And change always creates division. Especially from those who don't want things to change. I mean, Jesus comes to turn everything upside down. And it's not just here that he talks about that. Think about, for example, those times when he says, the first will be last and the last will be first. If you're last, that's good news. If you're riding high and you're first, you might not want to hear that. And there's division. Think of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Remember that one where the workers who work all day and promised a full day's wage, at the end of the day, workers who were hired just an hour before come and they get a full day's wage. And the workers who worked all day think, great, we're going to get more. We deserve more. And then they get a full day's wage. And they're not happy about it. Division. Jesus comes to overturn the status quo on earth. And if you like the status quo, you might not like that message. Jesus comes saying, you all must change if you choose to follow me. But I also come to change the world. If you're going to follow me, you must make a choice. And if you follow me, you must be open to change. Which means, in this sense at least, you cannot be a conservative Christian. You cannot be. Conservative meaning holding on to the past, conserving it. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to change the world. See why it's a little divisive? Not everyone is open to change. Not everyone's open to change in our own lives. Hey, sometimes we get comfortable in our habits. Or think of that phrase, I'd rather the devil I know rather than the devil I don't know. Change is risky. Following Jesus is risky. Choosing is risky. Changing is risky. Thus, I think Jesus is telling us, if you truly follow me, if you make that choice, if you're open to change, there's going to be division. But notice, it's not God's fault. It's not Jesus' fault. It's our fault. It's the fault of us We humans who don't want change all the time. Especially those of us who enjoy a certain amount of power and privilege in the world currently. But Jesus says, I come to lift up the lowly and bring down the powerful. And interestingly, it's not just Jesus who says this. His mother Mary says it. Read that beautiful Magnificat in Luke 1. Mary's saying exactly the same thing, just in beautiful language that we put to beautiful music, and we miss some of the divisive language. The prophets preach to this. When God comes, not everyone's going to be happy. But again, that's our fault. It's our fault for not wanting to change and make the choice. It's not God's fault. Jesus is not causing the division. We're causing it by our reluctance to follow. You know, love your enemies. That's tough. Take up the cross and follow me. That's tough. Work for love and justice. That's tough. If it were easy, everyone would be doing it. So I read these words of Jesus as descriptive. Here's unfortunately what's going to happen as a result of what I've come to do. It's not what I want to happen, but because you are imperfect human beings trying to follow your perfect Savior, there's going to be division and tension. And how do we as Christians deal with that? I don't think we are meant to cause division, but we are meant to make certain choices that may cause division. We are meant to be open to change that may cause division, but I think we are meant to do that in the most loving, peaceful way possible. And it may not always be possible. So there's this fine line of awareness of following Christ truly brings division. How do we try to limit that, or maybe bring other people along so there's less division? It's not an easy task. But I also think there's hope. There will not always be this division and tension. Notice that interesting line Jesus says about his work. He says, I'm in distress until it is completed. Maybe that's where we are as a world right now. Jesus' whole purpose has not been completed. The whole creation has not been made new. And so we are still in distress and division and turmoil in the meantime. But I've got to say this, I don't think that's the way things always will be. As we continue to work for love and justice and peace, as we continue to make those choices and work for change, I think we have to know ultimately it's going to happen. There's hope. All things will turn out well, ultimately, just not yet. In the meantime, we are called to work for love, justice, peace. To do so as lovingly and peacefully as we can, although that may not always be possible. But to also work for these things, knowing that although they aren't here yet, they will get here. We will get there. And that's when the division will end. Amen.